Welcome into the Real Estate Investing Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. This is a show where we help you become a smarter, more intelligent investor. And, you know, sometimes it's living the life that you want, and real estate really just becomes a piece of that puzzle, letting you go out and explore, travel, create a business, wake up when you want to, spend time with the friends that you want to, and truly live the life that you want. And that's what today's episode is going to be about. Jeff Lerner is our guest today. He has been, as he calls himself, successfully unemployed all of his life, for except for 3 weeks when he was 16 years old and was fired from the only job that he ever had. Here's a guy who is a jazz musician and at 23 years old flipped his first house on a credit card, then built a portfolio of 25 doors, but that's not even the main part of his story. He really built a business and a life that he wants and built a community called Entre, which is Entrepreneur for short, Entre Nation, which is a community helping people live the life that they want. And Jeff joins us now on the show to talk about real estate, grit and determination, becoming an entrepreneur, and all of it. Jeff, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Clayton. So glad to be here. And I'm going to get a recording of this, right? Because that intro was beautiful.
Yeah, well, you'll get a full recording. I'll make sure we'll get a copy over to you. Well, you got the full studio set up there. You're a successful entrepreneur. You know the power of getting your voice out there and supporting your community, teaching people how to live the life that they want, all while supporting, you know, your wife and four children. So what led you down this path to wanting to sell the agency that you built up and kind of make this pivot in your life to where you are today? And then we can start a backtrack and go back to the beginning a little bit. But I want to hear where you are today, Jeff.
Yeah, of course. and thanks again for having me on the show. This show has been a part of my learning journey as I'm becoming a more sophisticated real estate investor. And so I appreciate you doing it, and I'm honored to get to be on here. As far as where I am right now, you know, I hit a point in 2018 where, you know, I don't know, maybe it's every 10 years, it's sort of a natural cycle. We take stock of things. I'm a pretty fast-paced person. I don't often like to stop and look around and smell the roses, but I did so in 2018 for a variety of reasons and just realized the new economy is the term that I use, you know, and that means the internet. It means digital technology. It means the changing, you know, pace and accessibility of information. It means a lot of things. It means people's shortened attention spans. It means the emergence of social media and the way that's changed the fabric of our, you know, culture. There's sort of this whole new paradigm that has a lot of different facets. And it has changed my life so much. It has allowed me to create a life that at any other time in human history would have sounded like science fiction. Like, oh, this guy, you were a musician and you were in debt, and then now you sit at a computer and you push buttons on a keyboard and like money hits your bank account and you have a team all over the world. Like, you know, it doesn't even land with anybody that hasn't been around in the last 20 years.
Right.
And yet here we are with this massive, you know, landscape full of possibilities. And because I, you know, at a desperate time in my life, because all the traditional, normal, reasonable options were removed from my life and all I had left was the new economy, and so I dove headlong into it, from 2008 to 2018, my life completely transformed and became something that is the stuff of it was the stuff of my dreams. And in 2018, maybe, you know, again, I was almost 40 years old. I was taking stock from a 10-year journey. And I said, you know, it's time for me to start sharing this. I look at the world and I see frustration. I see envy. I see this, you know, social media has actually brought out some of our worser natures where we're envious and we're depressed and we're longing for more. And we see that there's more out there, but we don't know how to get it. And I do. I know how to get it because I got it. I spent 10 years getting it through all this stuff that's actually available to everyone. There's nothing I did that isn't on the table for pretty much every single person in the you know, maybe not the whole world, but the digitized, westernized world that has internet. It's all right there. And if everybody doesn't have it, then maybe I can be a part of a change and start evangelizing. And I really consider myself an evangelist. Like, I go out and preach the good news of the new economy, that there's this massive opportunity out there and anyone can have it if you will basically start ignoring and blocking out all the naysaying critical influences in this world that have their own interest in keeping you stuck. And I'm just trying to help people break free. That's maybe a long and
I love that
lofty way of describing it. But 2018, and I sold my agency because that was kind of keeping me tied down day to day. And I've just gone headlong into content creation and building this movement called Entre to teach the world what's possible.
Well, I love that. And I think you and I are on a similar mission, maybe in different kind of content strategies. But that's when I left, retired from TV in 2017 and left the world of having to report the news about other people's business, for most of my life. And I was building real estate on the side and building a real estate portfolio and building businesses. And I just loved it. I loved building. I loved creating. I loved being an entrepreneur. And I loved being able to help other people achieve the same thing. And I used to get so frustrated because I grew up with a lot of negative associations with money, that we weren't worthy of it, that we couldn't do it, limiting beliefs around wealth building. And so I see these comments on my YouTube channel, I get emails from people that say, I just don't know how to do it. How do I get started? How do I make a change in my life? And to your point, it's all right there. It really is just removing these negative speed bumps in our life, removing them or just going over them and keep going. I mean, how did you overcome those early stages 10 years ago when you were really just kind of getting started? How did you push through? Because I'm sure there's someone listening right now that can relate.
Yeah, I mean, so I've been a nonconformist much longer than I've been successful. So I spent, I started my first business when I was 16 years old. And it was not successful. I mean, I failed it. I have a list I wrote down. I think there's 8 different things that I tried and failed at. And so I got really comfortable being uncomfortable. And even when I was, quote, doing, succeeding or doing the thing that I was good at or that I was at least able to get paid something for, I was a jazz musician. Like, I was a fringe character in society already. I did this artsy thing that people thought was interesting and novel, but they didn't really understand it. And there were a certain amount of why doesn't he get a real job in my life right. from all sides. And I don't know, man. I had that job when I was 16 years old and it was at a law firm. It was literally like the most square corner, like boxed in thing you can imagine. I worked in the office supply room at a law firm. A real stuffy, prestigious law firm in Houston, Texas, that bills $500 an hour just to call you back for 10 minutes. And everybody seemed miserable. Nobody seemed happy. Nobody smiled. I remember one day literally trying to find a smile for an entire day. And the only person that smiled at me was my coworker, Bob. But he was crazy, man. He thought that they were all pod people. Like, literally, he thought aliens inhabited the building. Like, I'm like, the only happy person here is literally nuts. And all the sane people are miserable.
And maybe he was an alien. And maybe that was his secret,
I don't know. I don't know. But for some reason, it was like I had this lightning strike moment as a teenager that was like, dude, the mainstream path ain't all it's cracked up to be, and it ain't all that everybody seems to be convinced it is. So just go your own way, man, because at least you'll have a shot at being happy. I don't know why I got that memo when I was a teenager. And now in my endeavors with Entre, I have people that are 55, 65, sometimes 80 that are just getting that memo and going, I bought the package that they sold me coming out of high school, and it hasn't taken me where I thought it would. And now I want to do something different. And in those cases, it's hard because the runway is so short.
Right.
So I'm grateful that I got the memo at a young age. And so I spent a lot of time getting acclimated that the journey isn't about the reward, because I did it for over 10 years as a broke, struggling jazz musician who was also starting these businesses on the side. So I already got all the judgment, all the insecurity, all the worrying about what other people think. I got all that out of the way in my teens and my 20s. So by the time I got into the thing where success was really viable, I didn't have any of those beliefs or those negative factors chipping away at my mindset. I discarded them already. And I took the long process that it takes to do it. I mean, I spent 12 years failing and being a fringe character in society so that when I finally found my thing, which was digital marketing for me, I didn't have any of that stuff to worry about. It was kind of nice.
That's amazing. Speak to the current climate right now. Obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic here at the end of August 2020. You've got a whole group of students who are wide-eyed and going to their freshman year of college for the first time or entering their final year of college. They've been sold that bill of goods that you need to go $40,000 in debt, $60,000 in debt, get a college degree where you're going to work for somebody else. You're going to be miserable. That's the only way that you build wealth is to get a W-2 job, be in the highest tax bracket. And then when you leave, there's no guarantee that you're going to get a job given the current state of affairs, and you're going to be saddled with an enormous amount of debt. And, oh, I guess this is the way that it's supposed to be. I mean, what would you say to someone who's 18 right now watching this, or 21 that's thinking about going back to their final year of their college right now? Can you speed up that ability for that person to get that ticket a little bit earlier, as you say, like to get that memo a little bit earlier in their life?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, I'm not a dogmatic person. Like the truth is always in the middle. I try to live my truth. As big a deal as my truth is to me, I have a thought my therapist planted in my head, which is like, never capitalize the T on truth, because it's not a proper noun. It's just your version of it. So I have my way of being, but I'm not a dogmatic person. I'm not going to say jobs are terrible, school is terrible, a degree is a waste of money. Like I have four kids. You can see them in the picture behind me. For two of my kids, school makes a lot of sense. For one of them, college, I think makes no sense. And one of them, she's four. It's probably still undetermined. You just got to know yourself. But even for my two that I would say college makes sense, like my daughter, Jada, she wants to be a nurse. You're not going to be a nurse without going to college, right? You're not going to self-educate yourself, your way into the healthcare system. But like, don't put all your eggs in that basket. Just be discerning, but, you know, walk around with eyes wide open and realize the system, the world, the establishment, whatever you want to call it, they are not interested. Because there's actually no systemic way that they could be interested in putting you on track for a wildly successful life. You know, there's like universal laws, there's moral laws, there's existential laws, there's economic laws that say not everybody can have a wildly successful life, or not everybody will. Anybody could, but many will not. And so the system, which has to govern and has to educate and has to, frankly, manage to effectively the lowest common denominator of society, they have to have a formula for that handles everyone. Right? You can't have a government or a schooling system that only handles some. It has to handle everyone. And anything that's designed to handle everyone is not designed to maximize anyone. And when you realize that, you go, okay, they're giving me a baseline plan or program, but there's a whole lot more that I'm fully responsible for. And you know, my take on the current situation, you mentioned the pandemic and COVID, is what I would say to anybody who's in the world right now, being influenced by the world right now, is the world is going in a collectivist direction. The world is going in a, frankly, a disempowered direction, where we're more and more, we're waiting on our government, we're waiting on our medical institutions, we're waiting on our pharmaceutical companies, we're waiting on God, whatever. We're like all waiting for the situation to be fixed right now. And yet, I can say from personal experience, in the last 6 months, I got my ass in gear and I've grown my company 1700% in 6 months. Now, some of that was opportunism because there were a lot more people online, but I spent spent 2 years getting it to the place where all the pieces were in place that it could scale that way. And it would have been really, really easy for me to believe the hype and say, oh, you know, this is a time for paralysis. This is a time for passivity. 2020 is a year to just more or less write off. But instead, what I did in February, or I guess it was March, I deleted all the news apps from my phone. I deleted the Facebook and YouTube and Instagram consumer apps from my phone. I did keep the Ads Manager. I did keep the Creator Studio. I kept the tools on my phone that you know, align you as a content producer rather than a content consumer. And I said, how can I maximize this? Because what I've learned is that if everybody else is standing still, it's the easiest time to get ahead. And
I love that.
You know, I think the more you just wire yourself that way, I don't want to give date stamped advice. I want to give advice that is still going to be relevant in 5 years. It's just realize that the world doesn't have your best interest at heart. They have your, what I would call like your medium interest. You know, there's a saying like at a job, you'll only work hard enough not to get fired.
Right.
That's actually the world. The world has a program for you to get enough so that you don't die.
I mean, you can move to a foreign country and skate by with never learning the language, right? You can, and guess what? You'll probably be fine, but you're not going to really live there. You're not going to really experience what it's like, right? You're not going to learn the nuances of the food, the subtleties, if you don't learn the language. You can skate by. And that's the same. It's exactly what you're talking about. Today's episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. HelloFresh offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. And look, during this crazy time, this is fantastic. So you could get things like, you know, balsamic fig sirloin. I mean, think about this. At over 60% cheaper than you would spend going out to a meal like this, delivered right to your door. HelloFresh has amazing recipes that you can make in 30 minutes or less. You can get dinner on the table. It's so much fun, actually. We've been doing this with the kids with HelloFresh, being able to get them, you know, working with the recipes with the kids. And, you know, they're able to follow the easy stuff right there on the recipe card and build delicious, fun meals right from home. And it teaches the kids, like, a skill that we don't have home ec class in school anymore, right? So to have something like HelloFresh where they can follow an ingredients list, see what the ingredients look like as they're chopped up and separated in different packaging, and they, you know, use fresh, fantastic packaging that's all recyclable right there in their content to be able to help you make their sustainably sourced meals, which is fantastic. These pre-portioned ingredients, so you're not overbuying this stuff, which can be a burden on the planet. You're not scraping all sorts of extra pieces of your vegetables into the garbage. It's all packaged perfectly. What's great, you can be flexible with your different plans too. So you can have your fridge stocked by adding extra proteins or sides like garlic bread in your weekly order. You can easily change your delivery days or food preferences, skip a week whenever you want. It's so great to have HelloFresh delivered right to your door with incredible ingredients. HelloFresh has donated over 2.5 million meals to charity over the last year. And this year, they're even stepping up their food donations to local communities even more thanks to the coronavirus pandemic. They've been doing amazing things. So the recipes are super easy to follow. You're going to save 40% by using HelloFresh versus shopping at your local grocery store. What's fantastic is that you are going to get some incredible experience with your family, just getting them to cook, you know, just showing them these different ingredients, bringing the family together and cooking together, put on a little music in the background is so great. And the convenience cannot be understated. Have all of your meals planned out for you just by going to the website and picking what you want. And you're going to get a fantastic $80 off your first month. Yes, $80 off right now by using the code 80INVESTING, 80INVESTING. So here's what you have to do. Go to HelloFresh.com/80investing. Again, it's HelloFresh.com/80investing to get $80 off your first month and free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply, so please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. I don't even think this is date stamped in any way, too, because I think people often need a reset. And we have setbacks in our lives. And we had this sort of global reset moment with this pandemic. For a lot of people, though, they might get laid off or they're just sitting at home and they're just having that moment like you had at the law firm and being like, oh, my God, no one is happy here. I am miserable. I do not want to drive 2 hours to and from work anymore. What am I doing? And it's an opportunity to look at your life and reset and to really get granular with what you want. And one of the first things I would imagine, I don't know, you tell me, when you first start working with someone and you're taking them through that entrepreneurial community and you're helping them with this movement, what are some of the first things, some of the first building blocks that you're looking to help them build on their journey to becoming a true entrepreneur and living the life that they want?
I mean, honestly, it's, and I've been, you know, so just so you have a little bit of background, when I started in 2008 online, I was an affiliate marketer for almost 5 years. But what I found was the more lucrative and more effective niche within affiliate marketing that worked really well for me, partly because I'm kind of this like passionate ideological person. I like getting people fired up to take action in a certain direction. It's, you know, certain directions, not all directions. So the place that I kind of landed was, even when I was an affiliate for marketing and business education companies. So kind of like what Entra is now, I was an affiliate for other companies like Entra. And the reason I say that is, even though Entra is only 2 years old, we started in 2018, I've actually been selling business education products, other than I took about a 5-year hiatus when I built my agency. But I started selling entrepreneurial education products back in 2008, 2009. So I've got over a decade in the trenches of connecting people with information on how they can create a transformative financial and professional experience in their life, you know, how to learn this new skill set that's available for all of us, how to sell products online, how to, you know, drive eyeballs to websites and turn clicks into conversions and get paid, like all this stuff, right? I've been connecting people with that information for over 10 years. And I tallied it up. In my career, I've sold some sort of business education product to over 150,000 people. And that was actually pre-Entra. I mean, we're enrolling 8,000 students a month right now. So that's a lot of data. That's a lot of history for me to observe every scenario on the spectrum of outcomes. You know, I've seen tens of thousands of people put money into courses and have all this fire and all this conviction and all this certainty and go nowhere. And I've seen thousands of people put money in and completely change their life. Like, I have a great lens to look through at the entirety of the human experience and go, who succeeds, who fails, who's consistent, who isn't, who sees things through, who doesn't, right? And so what I've realized is it's not skill, it's not talent, it's not tactical, because we live in a world now where, frankly, all the information is out there. There's certain personality types and there's certain belief systems. And what I've become absolutely convinced of is that as much as people resist personal development, they don't want it to be a mindset or a belief system or an energy, new age, woo-woo conversation. They want it to be mechanical. They want it to be like school. They want it to be a test that you can study for and you can retain information and you can answer multiple choice questions and you can pass. And that is not how business and entrepreneur success is. It's so much about the way you are. It's more like being a Navy SEAL than it is like, you know, being an engineer. And so you asked where I started, what are the basic things I put in place? I get deep into people's heads. I do therapy and evangelism. Those are the two jobs that I do, because they're actually the only ways that anybody gets any different results. And what I find is that, you know, most people have spent decades getting trained to look at the world a certain way. And you talk about going to a different country. It is. You have to learn to speak a different language before you can have all the different experiences that a new country offers you. It's the same thing with being an entrepreneur. People talk about not wanting to do things because they're hard. That seems hard. Is it? I'm like, no, you need to want to do it because it's hard. Because the fact that it's hard is gonna create all these qualitative effects in your life. Like, first of all, the day after, you're gonna be a little bit tougher and you're gonna be a little bit more confident because you know you did a hard thing and you didn't back down. And you're gonna have a little more resilience and you're gonna have a little more stamina. And like, You have to be seeking the things that change you before you seek the things that change your circumstances. And the job mindset and the school mindset is all about checking a box so I can move on to the better circumstance. To me, the entrepreneur mindset is about, I don't even want to check the box until the work is done. And the work could take 5 years. But I know that in 5 years, I'm going to be a warrior. And I'm going to be able to succeed in any economy. I'm going to be able to succeed in any business model. I did a video the other day where I was like, you want job security? Go be an entrepreneur for 10 years and succeed. Because I can say as a successful entrepreneur, you put me up against any employee for most jobs, any job that doesn't require like an extreme level of specialty education, like neurosurgery or something. You put me up against any career employee for an employment-based position, I guarantee you I'll smoke them. Guarantee it. Because I know I can do things that most people have never had the opportunity to discover for themselves. And you know what I mean? Like,
right. It's right. Just, I mean, just having a conversation with someone who, you know, we get together as friends and you get together and someone's like, oh, I work at this job. I'm doing, you know, digital marketing at this particular company. And I just know based on my level of experience doing what I've done in as an entrepreneur for years in that space that, and I'm spinning ideas to that person. I'm telling them, have you tried this? This is what's working for us. And, no, I didn't even know you could do it. I didn't know. I knew if I could step into that person's job, absolutely would, you know, 10x their lead gen on just by doing what I know to work, because I've been in the trenches and I've failed so many times. I've screwed up so many ad accounts. I've screwed up so many things in our business over the years. That's the only way that I've gotten stronger.
I mean, your idea muscle is in right. really good shape.
Right.
Right.
And I love it. And I love the power of that creation time. And just creating is my fuel. I love it. I never stop, and I don't ever see myself retiring. You know, you've really built an incredible life for yourself. And one of the things that you did at an early age was started with real estate investing. So you flipped a house with a credit card. Yeah. Which I have so many naysayers that say, you could never use a credit card to do it. Of course, Robert Kiyosaki, the very first house that he ever invested in, he bought with a credit card. So absolutely you can do that. So you flip a house, you start on building real estate portfolio and investment company as a part of your entrepreneurial journey. But that was just a small piece of the puzzle. Why did you decide that real estate like wouldn't be the thing, but it would be the thing that supports the life that you have?
Yeah, so my relationship with real estate has been really, really powerful. It's like, even though it's not my primary thing, by no means is it the thing that I'm known for. I actually would not be where I am today. I don't know that I'd be known for much of anything if not for real estate. The reason being, and this is why I love real estate, there were times in my journey when nothing was working, nothing except my rental properties. There are times in my journey when if I hadn't had rental properties to pay me at least the core of my bills, like my rent and my power and my phone, the things without which you cannot even function, I would have broken and I would have had to go get a job and I would have had to just, you know, go down a totally different path for my life. And so, you know, I want to make sure that it's clear that even though real estate isn't my primary thing, It's a huge piece of my life for that reason. And it's why now that I've got, you know, kind of a new level of success, to me, real estate is how you backstop your success. I don't think there's anything, I don't know that there ever will be anything more stable than real estate that still has significant growth potential. I mean, right. You know, you can go buy municipal bonds and know that you're going to make 5% and probably, you know, tax free in some cases. And that's great. But like, you're not going to double your money in 8 years, right? Real estate is just as good as it gets from that regard. And, you know, I flipped my first house and to be clear, I actually did a cash advance off the card, used the cash to do all the repairs, and then was able to turn the house that way because I was able to get a loan to barely buy the property, but I had no money for repairs.
Right. That's a high, I mean, that let's be clear. I mean, that's risky, right? Because
oh, yeah, if you like didn't, you know, that's a
20% interest rate or something on a cash advance. So, but oh, yeah, you know, you had an exit strategy.
not recommended, right? But I certainly wouldn't counsel my kids to do that, but it wouldn't matter because kids ignore their parents anyway. So,
right.
But yeah, and then, you know, but I also got to the point, I mean, you asked the question of why it wasn't my main thing. I think it was because I was so obstinate about not getting a job. And real estate, what you know, to do real estate well, you have to be able to be patient. You know, what I find is when people screw themselves with real estate is when they get overextended because they're in a hurry and they're looking for a quick bang, and something goes wrong and they can't weather the storm, and then the whole thing goes belly up, right? You know, people that are trying to cycle and iterate too fast and convert one house into three houses, into eight houses, into 25 houses, and then there's a recession and they lose all the houses. You know, and I figured that out. If I'd been willing to go get a job, real estate could have been my main thing that I used to grow my wealth, because I just would have had a job. I would have gotten a paycheck. I would have lived conservatively. I would have taken as much of my paycheck as I could have and put it into real estate. And maybe I would have been better off. But for me, because I refused to get a job, I was psychologically always looking for things that could go faster. And I had a few experiences early in real estate that showed me this isn't going to be like the explosive, quick vehicle, the massive wealth that I want. And so I ended up pursuing a lot of things that also were not, and frankly, lost a lot of money and cost myself a decade. But that's why, you know, it wasn't because there's anything wrong with real estate. It's just because it didn't go fast enough for me, which now, interestingly, is exactly what I love about it. Because slow up, slow down, right? The longer it takes to build something, in many cases, the longer it's going to last.
Right. Well, I think the beauty of real estate, and something that I've been really trying to hit home to my audience recently, is this idea that, look, you know, real estate really is a couple of things, right? It really, to me, though, is wealth preservation in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But you also used a great term. There's nothing that you can find that I know of that's a better backstop. You could say safety net. Backstop, safety net, ball return underneath a basketball hoop, whatever you want to say, right? But it is that thing that allows you that little bit of freedom. Even if it's one, two, three rental properties with that little bit of cash flow that you know that your family is taken care of, so that you can pursue that dream, that you don't have to rush back to the W-2 job. And you know, yeah. There's nothing against jobs. It's just, it can be golden handcuffs for so many people that if with just a little bit of a backstop, a little bit of a push could move in that direction, right?
Yeah, and a job to me is a lot, and admittedly, this is speaking from hypothesis because I haven't had one since I was 16, but I got to imagine a job is a lot more tolerable, maybe even a lot more fun, if you know that it's part of a larger wealth strategy rather than just a dumping of all eggs into one single basket with a, you know, that's stitched together with some hope and trust that hopefully it's a great basket. Like,
right.
I can't imagine doing something for 40 years and then finding out at the end of 40 years that didn't work. Like literally didn't work. I can't retire. Like, let me call Walmart and see if they need greeters. I mean, and yet that's most people's life.
Right. And it's the biggest frustration to me when I see those videos of those commercials. I hit it home all the time, but I can't stand it. It's those commercials where it shows the retired couple, gray hair, sitting in their financial advisor's office. And in that office, the financial advisor looks up and says, we did it. We can do it. And they look at each other across the table and they say, did you hear that, honey? We can do it. We can actually do it. We can actually live the life that we want now that we're 75 years old. And that's it. It took them all the way to the end of their life for them to sit in a financial advisor's office to find out that they can go and get that boat and go and live the life that they want on that lake finally with their grandkids. It's incredibly frustrating. I can't stand those commercials, but that's where most people are.
Yeah, those commercials are kind of silly. And frankly, that's an optimistic scenario. Most 75-year-olds aren't sitting there saying, we did it, we can buy a boat. Most 75-year-olds are saying, hopefully our kids don't mind if we move in or call them for some help or
right.
You know, they're even by 75, their hip or their back has been aching so bad for a decade. They're like, you know, I don't know. I have a vantage point where I deal with thousands and thousands of these stories. I have a lot of data and it's not pretty. These every every number in a statistic is a real life human experience. And the median human experience right now is not a rosy outcome when it comes to their financial and quality of life story. And the thing that I think people fail to realize, and that, again, because the government and the schools and everybody has to, they have to deal with the lowest common denominator. They have to speak, you know, they have to manage everyone. So they can't have a conversation with anyone about what's best for them. The reality is, for the average person to live the life that they want, they need to retire with millions of dollars in net worth. Millions. Like 10 times more than they're on track to. I mean, the average 55-year-old person has, I think, $60,000 in retirement savings. You literally need, I would say, 100 times that to live a good retirement.
Right. Susie Orman,
depending on where you live.
Susie Orman got in a lot of trouble for, you know, for once kind of speaking the truth. And I actually agree with her on something where she said, you know, to really retire comfortably, I think you need, I don't remember what the figure was. I think she said $4 million or something like that, or $2 million. And I think, and I even think that's low. I mean, if you think about the amount of money that you're trying to live off of from a 401k, it's, you know, it's one of the biggest lies we've ever been told. But most people are trained to think that way.
Yeah. And when you, I mean, it's like a red pill moment, man. When you understand what $1 million is in this world, that it ain't that much in terms of, like, everything changes when you're too old to work. Like, if you have $1 million in the bank and an $80,000 a year job, you can feel comfortable. Take away the $80,000 a year job and start bleeding the million to live and see what life is like. It sucks. It sucks. People need to hear it. It's a scam. I'm not saying the whole system is a scam, because the system isn't trying to make you win. The system is trying to sustain itself. And so in that sense, it's not a scam, because it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do, which is squeeze you for juice and energy so that it, the system, which has no heart, which has no feelings, can survive, can perpetuate. But for you, if to the extent that it enrolls you in an idea that it's serving your benefit, you have scammed yourself. I'm not even going to put the blame on the system. You are scamming yourself if you are too lazy to sit down and do the math to say, if I want to be able to be 65 years old and help my kids if they get in trouble and deal with a medical situation that requires, you know, a more expensive medical care and maybe isn't covered by insurance, and deal with the vicissitudes of the economy, and deal with, you know, if there's a, you know, somebody gets in a wreck and I get sued and I got to pay for a legal defense, like all the stuff that happens in life. If you sit down and do the math on what it takes to actually be secure, you'll come up, depending on where you live in the world, you're going to come up with a number probably anywhere between $5 and $10 or $20 million.
Right.
And you're going to look at that number. For most people, they're going to look at that number and go, nah, what am I, you know, and crumple up the paper and throw it away and go back to their life, because it's such a big gap. The most people's minds don't even want to entertain that it's actually the truth. And yet, and so you say, why, you know, or I don't even know if you asked me this question, but if you said, why do you love real estate? I would say because for most people, maybe in the last 10 years, I would add digital marketing to this because it's what's worked so well for me, and Entre teaches a lot of it. But for the average person, I would say real estate and digital marketing are the only two opportunities you'll probably have in your entire life to close that gap and not be living a giant lie.
I want to tell you about our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I love this company. So we just ordered a Japanese maple delivered right to our front door by going to Fast Growing Trees. Yes, fastgrowingtrees.com. And you can get 10% off by doing the exact same thing if you use the coupon code INVESTING by going to fastgrowingtrees.com/investing. So let me tell you about these guys. It's the world's largest online nursery. And you can skip all those big box stores where they're old, ugly trees that are dying because the guy doesn't water them. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know where you've been. So there's no more waiting in lines, messy cars,
I remember buying those plants in my back of my car, and all the, you know, the soil would tip over and be a mess. No having to dig through lackluster selection. Just go to fastgrowingtrees.com and choose from thousands of varieties of trees, shrubs, plants, house plants, everything that are expertly curated to thrive in your area. So what's great is when you use the website, they know where you are. So if you live in Montana, they're not going to recommend a palm tree or an orange tree, right? So if you live in a drier climate, more arid, et cetera, all of those things are taken into account just based on where you're logging into. So great. So we ordered this Japanese maple, and it's going to look great in our front yard. It's fantastic. And what's great is, you know, now is the perfect time of the year to plant a tree. The fall, right? Autumn is the perfect time to plant a tree, which means now is the time to go to fastgrowingtrees.com. You're going to get not those super hot days, and this is the perfect time for a tree to take hold and to really, really blossom in the spring. So this is going to be fantastic, and I want you to get 10% off right now by going to fastgrowingtrees.com/investing. Go to fastgrowingtrees.com/investing to order a tree, a house plant, anything you want, and take advantage of getting that right into your home. Fall planting season is here. Take advantage of fastgrowingtrees.com.
You're living it, my friend. You and I are living it. We're prime examples of this life, you know, being able to have real estate and digital marketing be the two drivers of what we do. And I'm here to tell you that that's true. I've had to come to that realization over the past 2 years that that's the truth. Real estate is a part of that. It's a wealth preservation vehicle. Being able to do digital marketing and do everything that we do as an education company and be able to help people build wealth, all of that tied together, I couldn't imagine. I mean, I just couldn't imagine going back to a job again, going back to a W-2 employment, trying to live that life. Once you understand how wealth is built, you could be dropped into a situation, parachuted in like a paratrooper, and within a short amount of time, be up and running again. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like if someone took your laptop away from you, took all of your business away from you right now, and said, Jeff, I'm going to give you 90 days to go out there. Can you build something in 90 days? Do you feel confident that you would be back up and running and producing cash flow for you and your family in a short amount of time?
I would actually, and that's in the digital marketing world, that's a famous question because Russell Brunson, the creator of ClickFunnels, which you're likely familiar with, he did a big series where he brought in 30 of the top ClickFunnels affiliates and asked them that question. He said, teach us what you would do in 90 days. So I've actually had opportunity to reflect a lot on that question because I remember going through some of that and going, I would reject the question. I would actually say, I need a year. Give me a year, I can do some damage. 90 days, I'm going to be rushed. I'm going to make bad decisions. Give me a year though. Is it okay if I answer the question with a year?
No, I love that. And I love the honesty of that. And I think you're right. I mean, I've been building something this year and I've had a bunch of false starts and I'm about 6 months into it. And I know that in about a year, it'll be where I need it to be. That's a great way to answer the question.
Yeah. So I'll use Entre as an example. 2018, I sold my agency. By the way, sold it to a software company that went out of business less than a year after I sold it and screwed me out of half the money.
Jeez.
I won't name names, but I'm still smarting a little bit from that. But my point is I had urgency added to my plan because, you know, I sold it, took a few months to kind of decide what I wanted to do. And then by that time I could start to see that there was like some shakiness over here and my payout was supposed to be like an 18-month payout. I could start to see, and it was backloaded where the bigger payments were on the backside. I was like, I might not end up getting all this money that I just signed. You know, I just liquidated my whole business basically. Okay, now instead of being a fun new project, this just became like serious. I gotta blow this up. I gotta make this happen. I got a standard I wanna maintain here, right? And so my plan in that scenario was exactly what I would do in the scenario that you just posed if I had a year, which is, you know, the Stephen Covey's 7 habits. The 7th one is sharpen your saw, right? If you have 5 hours to chop down a tree, you're going to spend 4 hours sharpening the saw, right?
Right.
And if I had a year to make money, I would do exactly what I did when I launched Entre, which is I spent almost a year building an audience, getting my message out there, finding resonance and alignment with my message to my potential market, warming up the world to who this Jeff Lerner guy is, what I have to say, what my value is, finding all the, getting really, really clear on not just who I wanted to serve, but how I could serve, what pain I was trying to address, what problem I was trying to solve, really, really getting confident about message to market match, and frankly, leveraging digital media to actually create a targetable audience for pennies on the dollar compared to what it's historically cost to get yourself out there. And that, or even free. I mean, in my case, I spent, you know, maybe in that, in the course of almost a year, I probably spent 20-30 grand warming up my audience. But in so doing, without getting into the technicalities of how I did it, you know, I built essentially a warm, targetable audience of several million people who knew me and knew what I was all about over the course of that year. But, you know, let's say I even had no money and I did it for free. I still could have targeted hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people just organically through digital content. But most importantly, it's not just getting yourself out there. It's actually getting the feedback and creating the engagement loops that allow you to find and measure what's landing with people. What do people want from you? What you want to give people is irrelevant. What people want from you based on you sort of opening up and saying, this is what I have to offer. When you find that, you can get rich in a month. And so in my case, you know, I spent from September to June, whatever that is, 9 to almost 10 months selling no products, not even offering products, literally just figuring out who does the market, what version of Jeff does the market respond to the best? And actually creating a warmed up, targetable audience of those people. And then in June, I started selling courses. And I was able in that case to go from zero to about $150,000, $200,000 a month in course sales within 30 days. And that's enough for the average person, even if you're at 20% margin, what, 30, 40 grand a month?
Right.
And you know, since then, we've scaled to over $2 million a month and we're still growing. But you know, I did that. My launch strategy was to basically answer that question. I did it for almost a year and I spent almost no money.
Wow. That's great, man.
Well, Jeff, it's been a real treat having you here on the show. What I would love to do is, I mean, I'd love to have you come back on. I'd love to be able to do something, maybe a deep dive on that process and kind of take us through the nuts and bolts of that digital media strategy to help somebody, maybe even from like the ground up, like what that would look like. Someone wants to make a change in their life. And we can do that together and we can take people through that journey. Does that sound like a plan?
That would be awesome. I get the more you suck me down into the weeds and the numbers and the nerd, into the nerd factory, the more excited I get. So yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm all for it because that's what I love too, man. I absolutely love that stuff. Well, Jeff, it's been a real treat getting to know you. How can people connect with you and learn more about everything that you teach and evangelize?
So thank you for using the evangelize word. I appreciate
I
you
listen.
Taking the cue. Yeah. So you did report the news for a long time. You're a great listener. I can tell. I have a free download. I call it a book, but I mean, it's like 15 pages. And it's called The Millionaire Shortcut. And this essentially packages the high level of my strategy of, you know, I call it the fastest way to become a millionaire in the new economy. It's literally kind of answering the question you asked, like, what's the fastest way to go from zero to hero in the modern world? And if you go to millionairesecrets.com/ClaytonM, we've got a special offer where you can download it 100% for free. Which is our way of saying thank you to you, Clayton, for having us on the show. And again, that's millionairesecrets.com/ClaytonM. You can download the free ebook. There's also a link on there to subscribe to my YouTube and listen to my podcast, which I actually would love to have you on, Clayton.
Would love it.
And just, you know, get further into my world. That's where I'd send them. millionairesecrets.com/ClaytonM.
Great. We'll have it right here on the screen as well and in the description below. Everyone can go and download that free book. And Jeff, it's been a real treat having you here. I look forward to connecting with you again real soon. Let's do some great work together and see what we can do to help change the world.
Amen, man. That's what I'm all about. I appreciate you having me. And thanks to your audience for listening.
You bet. Thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate it. Thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing and making us a part of your day. Now go out there and take action. Become an entrepreneur. Become a real estate investor. Do them in tandem, for crying out loud. Build something that can change the world and change your family. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.